Welcome to the Owner to Owner podcast with your host, Jesse Tyler, part of the EO Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Owner to Owner podcast. I'm Jesse Tyler. Great to have you with us again. I do this podcast to amplify ownership. I do this in part just as an employee owner who has absolutely loved it. I've been working at Hypertherm Associates for 16 and a half years. What drew me to the company were two things. The employee ownership, or in our case, all of our owners are referred to as associates, sort of conveying that. And there was, at the time, 2 days of paid volunteer time to go out in the community and try to make a difference. And over the years, it's become 5 full days. So ownership got me to my company. It was an impact on my job experience. So what I want to do is take this podcast and make it about employment in ownership. And while we usually have kind of rank and file guests, owners talking to owners, we're going to step outside a little bit and talk to one of the national voices of ownership, Thomas Dudley from Certified Employee Owned. So what I'd like to do is jump right in, hear a little bit about Thomas. I'd love to hear a little bit about kind of who you are and what you do, a little bit about Certified Employee Owned that you started and is growing quickly, and the employee ownership world is cheering you on with a recent milestone and anniversary date. And then I want to have you share the new jobs board that you've created and of getting a really strong reaction. So that's sort of if you're game to play along, that's what I was thinking we could do today. So
that sounds great. Yeah, awesome. Jesse, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. I'm excited to be on the podcast. And yeah, so I'm Thomas Dudley. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Certified Employee Owned. Our mission is really to accelerate the creation of an employee-owned economy. We want everyone in America to know about employee ownership. We're using the certification model because we think it's a proven way to promote a big idea like employee ownership. We're very inspired by Great Place to Work, Fair Trade, other such programs, and really looking to recreate that success in the employee ownership space. So my co-founder and I, Kramer Sharp, we started Certified EO actually just about 6 years ago. September 2017 was when we officially launched. The idea really came out of some work I was doing as a PhD student at Stanford Business School. We've grown over the past 6 years from 28 founding members to we just hit 600 employee-owned company members a few days ago. Thanks. It's been a journey, that's for sure. I mean, it's been a great, exciting journey. I mean, it's such a wonderful community of people. Just seems like such amazing people really are drawn to employee ownership and kind of the promise of that. So we've been really lucky to be in this space. Our organization obviously is focused on building a voice for employee ownership, really combining the reach of employee-owned companies to create a brand, to create a message, and really just help everyone understand that this is out there, make these companies more visible, and then also, of course, promote the advantages in a way that resonates with normal people, not business owners or financial analysts and that sort of thing. So yeah, that's our mission.
That's great. Yeah, it's amazing. I'm following you and cheering you on LinkedIn. It's like, didn't they just hit 500 and you just hit 600? So it's fun to see the velocity where you started out with an idea. And I think I met you several years ago and you were kind of in your founding and figuring it out. And it's just amazing to see the recognition and to see some of the brands that you have that are known, you know, through ownership world or not, that are their CEO brands now. And I've always appreciated the really crisp, sharp, clear messaging and consistent quality on the, you know, with the sales and marketing background, you notice it, and I've always appreciated that. But it's fun to see how fast that you're growing and how much of an audience you have now. So thanks for the background on that. So I want to do a little stop on two questions I ask every guest, maybe three questions. We'll see how this goes. And then I want to jump right into the job board, which is why I wanted to have you on, amplify your company and your team, but I really think that the new job board is amazing. I want to make sure all of our listeners get to hear about it directly from you. So to have a little bit of fun, this is traditionally for employee owners, but you're in deep and proactive and active and vocal. You're an ultimate amplifier, so you get to have the same questions. One of the great things talking about the new ESOP, I actually hosted one sort of as a buddy visit last week, is how do you talk about ownership? You know, there's that sort of question of how, you know, okay, congratulations, everybody, you're owners. And I've heard so many stories where there's like, you could hear a pin drop because nobody quite got it. So we'll start out with, how do you talk about ownership when you're out in the world? And then I'll bring you into sort of, how do you talk about it in the work context? So that's cool. So you're out and about, people see the CEO brand, Certified Employee Owned. Hey, Thomas, what's the deal with the employee ownership thing? How do you How do you lay that out? How do you introduce them to it?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of times people ask me what I do, and I say I run a certification program for employee-owned companies, and then you can see their face like, what? Like, they're trying to be nice, but they have right. no idea what I just said. They have to like, yeah. it's almost like a double take. I'd say, okay, my first strategy is to try to pick a company that I think they know and just relate it to that. I think that's really important, is just immediately trying to. So New Belgium Brewing was my go-to example for a while. Sure. Obviously, you have King Arthur Flour, so I could mention them. I moved to Texas about a year and a half ago. So TD Industries in Dallas, they're really well known. So I try to do it by analogy. When I was living in the Bay Area, I'd talk about Recology. So I think an example is good. So certification program for employee-owned companies like, you know, TD Industries, that sort of thing. I just try to relate it to so people understand it's out there. But I really just talk about how it's the ownership of the company through a broad-based group of employees. So really trying to create that financial opportunity. And also I talk about how it changes the way business works because it aligns incentives and just creates a much more driven and motivated culture when everyone has that ownership stake.
That's fantastic. And the goal in asking the questions is obviously for insight, obviously to help you and support the work that you're doing, which I admire. But the hope is that this really can be sort of a teaching. I'm in learning and development, leadership development. I'm hoping that when you hear other voices, people can borrow. And so that I think the way you laid that out, I think a lot of our listeners can really appreciate and borrow that, start with that and make that their own. So sort of the next phase of the question is, you're working with a brand new ESOP right after the transition. You're talking to the workers. Do you talk about it the same way, or do you have, you know, a slightly different, much different message? I'm just curious if, okay, now somebody has told us this thing we don't get, and you're the expert they brought in to inform us, like how much the same or different is your messaging?
Yeah, that's great. So brand new ESOP's definitely in a, you know, it's an interesting situation. And so just for a little bit of context, at Certified Employee Owned, we're obviously very focused, and our core mission is really about building awareness, but it's really about helping companies share their ownership story. And that could be with external audiences through our brand, but actually a lot of our work is helping our members share their ownership story internally. So we've developed a large content library, as well as a big playbook, webinars, communications plans, other sorts of things, really on how to drive that education. We don't talk to people directly. I've gone to a couple transitions and celebrations, very special moments, super exciting. But we do much, 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 much more work really on a train-the-trainer model, because we believe pretty strongly that building ownership culture has to be driven by people at the company and really driven by internal champions, because it's employee ownership. So our general advice to brand new ESOPs is to just take it slow. Right. The celebration is good. The transition, the big announcement. I went to one where the former owner, employees didn't know it was the former owner yet, right? But the CEO founder was like very dramatically said, we've sold the business. Like, let that hang out for a minute. And then was like, to you, we're going to be employee owned. And people were excited, but you could tell, what does that mean? Like, they have more questions than answers. So I think when you first do it, generating that excitement is great. And then for a brand new ESOP, my general advice is in that first year, year and a half between transaction and first statement, just tread lightly, take it slow, right? Because the last thing you want to do is talk about it too much, because that first statement isn't always the most exciting, because the company has a lot of debt, you're very levered. People don't know that. They don't appreciate it. They're just like, well, you told me I'm an owner and you just hand me a piece of paper with like $50 on it. Like, what are you talking about, right? So that's confusing to them. So you have to like let it build slowly. So I think if you are talking to a brand new ESOP, it is very different, right? It's very different, because you just want to help people understand, like, this is what it could be. This has a lot of potential, but this is like a long-term thing, right? And it also requires all of us to be bought in to really make the company successful, because we're only going to succeed as owners if the business does well. It's still business ownership, right? We're still a business, and business ownership is risky. It could be nothing. Now, of course, you know, you're not putting any of your own money in here, right? It's financed through a loan and maybe through a seller note. So you're not personally putting any dollars in the company. So it's all upside for you, but you just have to, it's just hard to communicate those things. And so I think generally we advise people to kind of take it slow in that first year, first 18 months.
That's great. And I've mentioned this on prior episodes. I welcome new people for orientation as one of my roles and responsibilities. And we had 10 the other day, very lucky in this environment to have 10 really promising new hires. And like, give yourself at least 3 years, maybe 5 years before you might feel comfortable explaining it to somebody new or standing in front of 10 new hires and explaining it. It's okay if you take your time. We don't expect you to get it right away, but I like your timeline and the way that you laid that out. That's great. That's great. And I think listeners can learn from that. So third of three questions. So the fun, big open question, what does ownership mean to you?
Yeah, I love that. That's a great one. When you told me you were going to ask that, I started thinking, because I was like, oh man, I really have to have a good answer to this. I think just personally, I get very obsessed with problems and what I'm doing. I've never been someone who takes things easily. So when I was in college, I wanted to be a physicist. And so I was just like obsessed with math and physics, just went way too deep. And then that didn't ultimately end up being my path. So I went more in the direction of business, did consulting, had a pretty intense job in consulting and thought that was great. Then went kind of back into the academic world and pursued this PhD in organizational behavior. Got so interested in employee-owned companies, ended up starting Certified Employee-Owned out of that. And so I really feel like ownership is like, it's really about understanding what your responsibilities are and just trying to be the best possible at those, right? I mean, every single person in the company has a very important role to play. Otherwise, you literally wouldn't be there. And you also have knowledge that nobody else in the business has, because you're doing things that are specific to you. It's specialization. It's your job. That's the whole point, is you know more about your job than anyone else. So everyone has that role, but you got to understand what your role is, how it fits into the bigger picture of the company, right? What is the big picture anyways? What's like the kind of broad strategy of the business? How does your department fit in? How's your role fit in? And trying to do that as well as possible. So that's the ownership in that sense. Obviously, there's this other sense, though, with employee ownership. And the thing that I'm most inspired by is the wealth building, right? I think that is just the reason I really care about this, is because what it can do for people. My dad actually worked at Cisco and had stock options. And that was part of how I ended up going to college, right, was the employee stock options. So it has that personal sense. But then just generally, I find it extremely inspiring. And so in that sense, the ownership piece, like financial ownership, stock ownership, is really a long-term opportunity. Mm-hmm. I think that's the only way to think of it. You can go on our site and use our wealth calculator to look at what compound growth does. And it's wild, because if you just look at it on a short time frame, like 2, 3, even 5 years, it's a straight line. Like you can't see the compounding at all. The compounding is the curve bending. But if you zoom out 20, 30 years, it's like by the end, it's going straight up. And it's just wild to look at how that sustained growth that builds on the growth, like what that can really do for you financially. It's tremendous. So I think that what ownership means on a financial side is really a long-term outlook, right? It's really about thinking down the road and understanding that the company needs to succeed tomorrow and next week, but also for years, right? And I need to be a part of that and really commit to it in order to see the benefit.
That's great. So I'm curious what you think of this. Talk about, and I don't know where I picked it up, as one of probably the NCO conferences years ago, but somebody used the phrase, a 7-year smile. Like around 7 years, people start to realize, okay, you know, I understood rationally that this could be a good thing, but it's somewhere around, you know, 5 to 7, I've been sticking with 7 years, that people start to be like, okay, this is definitely going to be a game changer if I keep with it. Do you use any kind of an outlook like that? Because it's such a long-term game in a world that's harder, understandably, for most people to feel and think long-term. I think it's one of the risks to the message of ownership, is that right now with everything going on, it can be hard to sell a long-term message. Like if I say 7 years, wow, kind of message that I'm condensing, how does that align with what you would say or have your team say for guidance?
I love that 7-year smile. We'll definitely be using that from now on. That's great. I think that's a great way to talk about it. Yeah, it really is a great way to talk about it. I think there really are like two aspects to ownership. When you think about employee ownership, there's the financial side and then there's the cultural differences. The financial side is what's going to like change your kids' lives, right? And that's what's really going to build that sort of like generational impacting wealth, hundreds of thousands of dollars, that sort of thing. And that takes a while. Like it's not a get rich quick scheme, right? There's nothing. Yeah. The only way to get that sort of money overnight is like illegal or the lottery, right? So it's not going to do that. It's longer term. So I love that 7-year smile. What's nice about the culture is that impacts you from day one. And all the positive things that the ownership culture does in terms of the relationships, the commitment, the motivation, just the energy that people have, that's all really positive and really good. And that starts immediately too. So that's another aspect of ownership. We'll try to have our members emphasize that piece as well as the wealth building. They go hand in hand. They're related. They build on each other. And the cultural piece is really the one you can feel more immediately.
Yeah. So yeah, I appreciate that. And you've got me thinking, talking to a new ESOP, trying to get their bearings last week. And it's something I've been saying in a new ownership training that we've been doing, is that if you don't have your foundational values straight, then ownership, I don't see that kind of culture and people sticking around in part because of the culture, in part because of the wealth building working. What are your thoughts on kind of the foundational values? Like if there isn't the culture that makes sense when you are employee owned, I'm not sure how successful you could be with the best ESOP plan ever. You know, can you talk a little bit about sort of the values, a little bit of values and culture? I'd love to hear your insights.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously culture, almost definitionally, it just varies from group to group and company to company, right? You can have a company culture that's very collaborative and it's all like team problem solving. You can have another company that's also successful where the culture is all like individual problem solving, right? Mm-hmm. Like much more. And you could have a certain person who would thrive in one environment and not in another, right? And so what's so interesting about working with all our different members is they are such different businesses. We have 5-10 person companies all the way up to 40,000. We've got manufacturing, retail, construction, distribution, professional services, huge range of industries all over the US. So it's really cool to see. And we do a lot of the work more on the cultural side and talking about employee ownership. What I love about employee ownership, though, is that regardless of your company culture, I'm certain there are elements that connect to employee ownership that are also part of your values, right? Because when you just think about what employee ownership does and what it means and what it can do, there are so many facets to it. And so we do try to talk to our members about, don't try to say everything about employee ownership all at once. It's more about, because it's tempting, right?
Yeah,
it's tempting.
That's great.
Like you just, a lot of times I think people just want to sit down, have one conversation with someone for like 5 minutes, and then they just like are stoked and they get it. And they're just, you know, it just doesn't happen that way, right? It takes a while. And it doesn't, frankly, it's not going to click with every single person. And that's okay. And some it might click with pretty quick, and others literally might take 7-8 years. It really might happen that way. But I think with the cultural piece, it's about figuring out the overlap between the things that employee ownership means and your own company's culture. So to do that, you have to have a good sense of your culture, and your company needs to be in a strong position there. And then you talk about employee ownership in a way that it reinforces your existing values, right? And if there's something about employee ownership that isn't super, you know, necessarily like a point of emphasis for your values, I don't even think you need to bring that up necessarily. You know, you can really be thoughtful about aligning those things. And that's how I think it works really well. Obviously, that's going to vary so much company to company, though. It's hard to be super specific.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
No, that's cool. Yeah. Talking to so many people, conferences, the podcast, training, it's the most common, because I ask all of our new hires, and over the years of a lot of onboarding, is around 2,000 people just at work I've asked, let alone other places, you know, what does ownership mean to you? And the most common words are respect, care, and trust. Those come up unofficially. Mm-hmm. I don't track them all, but I'm pretty safe. I could say that the evidence would show. And it's interesting because you're talking about working with very large groups, very small. My company is 2,000. So we're like the 36th biggest 100% employee owned. So in the EO space, we're big. And now you're talking about, you know, 40,000, or you're talking much smaller at the five, whatever. And it's interesting. Right. It doesn't matter what size of the company, those three words tend to bubble up, even though it can look very different depending on the size and the culture. So,
yeah, all right. I love those. I mean, the things I might add, commitment is a big one. I think there's something about customer focus as well that comes with ownership and really being focused on the customer and committed to the company in a way that other employees might not be.
That's great. That's great. Well, I appreciate it. So I want to get to the job board and hear just sort of, if you can just sort of describe, you have a hit on your hands, describe where you are right now, and then sort of behind the music, kind of where that grew out of and how that works. So tell us about the Find Employee Owned Companies option that is the first and only one of its kind on your website.
Yeah, great. Thanks. So it's called Employee Owned Jobs. As you mentioned, it's a job board for employee owned companies. Really, it's the only place to find all the jobs at certified employee owned businesses. Really the only job board that aggregates jobs at employee owned companies, period, as you mentioned. And we're really trying to accomplish, I mean, our fundamental goal with this is to help employee owned companies hire great employee owners. And related to that, we want to go out there and really promote this opportunity to people who don't know about it. But if you're going to do that, you need to give them a way to get involved. Because if you go out there and talk to people who are not currently at employee-owned companies about this opportunity and get them really excited, but they don't have a next step, they don't have anywhere to go, what have you really accomplished, right? Because without this tool, people would just be going to Google, searching. It's just not going to work very well. And so we view it as a very much an extension of our mission and the role we play in the employership community. Mm-hmm. We've seen as we've grown, we hit 500 members last year, just past 600. As we've gotten more and more members, we've seen there be more and more momentum around our brand. We really feel like we turned a corner with that around 500 members. We've seen more traffic on our website. Like we can just tell that we're getting that traction. And so the job board idea has been around with us for a little while. But in order to do that, you need a certain number of companies on there because you need a certain critical mass of job listings. But yeah, we started working on it earlier this year, felt like we were finally in the spot where it was kind of unlocked by the growth of our members. We have basically set it up. So we're pulling positions from as many of our members as possible. So all the companies on there are certified. We know for sure that they're employee owned. That helps build trust with the job seekers because the last thing you want is for them to go talk to a company that's not actually employee owned through the job board. That would erode trust. Pulled all that together. Today, we have 8,500 listings, all sorts of different industries all over the U.S. in terms of states. Definitely a lot of jobs in construction, engineering, manufacturing, but really, you know, broad range of industries as well. I think that just kind of mirrors where employment companies tend to be industry wise. So it's great. And it's been very popular. We launched it about 2 months ago. We've had over 15,000 and thousands of jobs viewed. So it's been great. Members have been extremely positive about it. They started doing math we didn't even think about, right? They're like saying, well, this is great because posting a job on LinkedIn cost me like $200 for a month, but we're just giving our members unlimited job posts. So we didn't even think about that. We just wanted to get all those jobs together and start promoting it to people. But the members have been very, very positive about it, which we've appreciated.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm not looking for anything proprietary, especially as you're quickly building and growing this out. But are you finding, have you had any pleasant surprises on sort of trends on some of the reactions, some of the questions? I mean, that's great with, you know, talking about the $200 on the LinkedIn, but just some other things like you're, you know, very thoughtful, methodical, all of that. If you dare, like, have there been some fun surprises along the way? Like, I didn't expect that, or this is a new opportunity that something you're comfortable sharing.
Yeah, well, we've got a great idea. All our good ideas come from our members, frankly. We're so lucky because they just are always asking us if we can do this, that, the other. And they're always like the best idea that we never would have thought of. One of our members asked kind of, well, what's your plan to promote this? And obviously we have a promotional plan, but they had talked about talking to community colleges and trade schools, which was something kind of on our list, but just to hear them ask about it, we were like, oh, that's a great idea. And so we've started reaching out. We're actually on a website of one community college at the moment, but our goal is basically that, I forget the name, they're in Pennsylvania, but it's the one with the Baker Center of Excellence as well. So they're very positive on employee ownership. But basically, yeah, the big surprise has just been our members have such good ideas in terms of promotion. We're like, oh, that's absolutely right. So yeah, we'll basically be kind of focused on, in terms of promotion, we have a few different things we're doing to drive traffic that are more like classic advertising and marketing, but we'll be doing like a big promotional campaign to community colleges and trade schools, which I think lines up very well with a lot of the positions we have open and a lot of the industries that employment companies are at. And I think it's going to be amazing because when you think about the opportunity and the life-changing wealth building potential that this has, I just think that that's such a cool audience. And this tool is going to be such a good reason to go tell our story as well. So now we have a real strong reason to go out there, beat the drum, promote this. It's going to definitely drive traffic to our job board, to employer jobs, and to our members. But it's really going to be good for even companies that aren't certified because we're just going to get this on the radar of so many people.
It's fantastic. Yeah, I looked through and it was interesting to see the range of positions. You have, you know, if you reach high school, I was going to share with our local high school guidance counselor because we have a handful. It's a very small school in New Hampshire, but we have a handful of graduates who go right into the workforce and our company happily welcomes them when we have that opportunity. But you can see there's some, you know, right out of high school, you know, you don't need a degree options up through some pretty high level jobs. So that's pretty interesting, pretty interesting. And you're the colleges and the trade schools, and you look at their job placement rating generally is, you know, I think nationally in the 90s for, you know, incredible hit rate. You know, I worked at one years ago that had a like an 11-year run of 100% placement. So you have a different focus. That sounds like a really cool way to reach generally a younger population, but not always, where you can have a new funnel of people. That sounds really cool.
Thanks. I think it's going to be great. We've done, well, actually, when I was still in grad school, I did some public opinion research on employee ownership, including impact on a job seeker, and found something really interesting that about 3 out of 10 people said they'd be more likely to apply to a job if they saw on the application that it was an employee-owned company. Also saw 1 out of 10 people were less likely to apply, right? And then, of course, 6 out of 10 were neutral. And that was so interesting to me. At the time, I was thinking about the certification program. And so I really focused on the positive influence and thought, oh, this is awesome, because this actually is more influential than Great Place to Work. Because I ran it with their logo. I ran it with our logo. Yeah. We actually had more influence, you know, in that survey methodology, which I thought was super interesting and fascinating, got me really excited. But now that I've put out EO jobs, it kind of, I'm looking at it a different way, where I'm thinking, well, if you're a company, not only do you want to attract the people who are excited and there's obvious benefits there, but you don't want to end up with the people who aren't excited either, right? You don't want someone coming in who's a skeptic about this and is just taking the job because it's the job they got. So I'm really excited for the opportunity to go out and build this audience and find these people, 3 out of 10, right? So if we go and are able to get this in front of 1,000 people at a community college, for example, 300 are going to be a little curious, right? And we found 1 out of 10 is like really excited. So you think 100 maybe would be a reasonable number of people who are actually interested enough to go and take a look at the site. And of that, however many are going to actually apply. And so when you start doing the numbers and thinking about it, not only do we get to build this really great applicant pool of people who are really excited about working at an employment company and are going to come in a lot more interested in learning and are going to come in a lot more open to thinking about the wealth building, right? It's going to make all the jobs of the communications committees a lot easier. And it's going to help avoid hiring the people who maybe are neutral or don't care or even negative about it. So I'm really stoked about the impact that it's going to have when we really get that promotion ramped up.
Yeah, that's great. And what I thought about right away, and I've shared it with a few people, is, you know, the link to it, check this out, is what it's almost like a start here when you have sort of a values, mission, focus. You look at people coming out of university, even some coming out of the military. You know, I want to be careful. I'm not just younger folks. It's not just that. But those entering the workforce have a higher priority on liking the people they work with. Is it mission values based? Can I trust it? Can I grow? Am I going to get development? And so I think of that sort of like, well, that makes looking a lot easier, because you've got to be values based to be. There's a big values statement when the founder sells the company to the owners instead of getting more money in other ways. But then for them to be so successful that, you know, as the economy's undulating a little bit, you've got, like you said, 8,500 postings or whatever, that it's sort of, you know, if your mission values driven, start here kind of thing when you're, or then another thing, if you're open to the suggestion, you know, we through COVID at Hypertherm Associates, we haven't had any layoffs in 55 years of business, which is unusual for a manufacturer. But we had people who during COVID would say that they picked us, employee ownership jumped out or no layoffs jumped out. So if there's any way to get some of your members to share how long it's been, I mean, it's unusual to have 55 years of no layoffs in manufacturing. So I'm not saying that as a standard, but if it's been several years for some of your members, to consider maybe amplifying that, because we had a actually very high level person who said they saw that about our company and said, having just experienced that, never wanting to feel like that again, that's what got me to check out Hypertherm Associates. And they're thriving and happy and referring us to their friends. So just something to consider with another dimension, particularly in sort of the manufacturing rank and file groups, the no layoffs can be a huge, huge draw, even though a lot of companies have had some good runs without any layoffs and they don't tend to mention them. So if that helps you at all as an idea.
I love that. Well, you know what else it really caught me in there is the thing I'm going to do after we get off this is I'm going to go look at what resources are out there for hiring, for hiring veterans and recruiting people who are transitioning from military to civilian life. That's a great idea. That audience would love. I think the employee-owned jobs values-driven thing could strongly resonate with some people in there, and I hadn't even thought of it yet. So this is what I love about this community, is just how many great ideas people have. Yeah. I can take that and go see if there are some job boards out there that we can kind of cross-list with or something like that.
Yeah, that's great. And I've mentioned this on prior prior episodes, but we've got incredible talent through the veteran community, people transitioning. I was in a team meeting today with two that came out of the military that are just absolutely thriving with us. And so being intentional with that, and then to prior episodes, and I always talk about this at the NCO conferences, the DEA is for employers to consider recovery-friendly workplace status, where you have that program, which people can learn about it, recovery-friendly workplace. You can just look it up. Mm-hmm. But we have dozens of people that wouldn't working for us that you want creative problem solvers and you want driven people, have people that would probably not otherwise have employment, security, that social network, that thriving, plus also gaining wealth. We have some remarkably successful people that we wouldn't have without that program. So a couple other ideas to throw on the pile. That wasn't quite the intention of this conversation, but I'm cheering you on. So if any of it's helpful to you and your team, then that's good for employee ownership. So
thanks. I appreciate that.
All right. So before we wrap, what is just back to sort of the mission and the goal of certified employee owned. What's something that you want to leave listeners with about the work you're doing, your group? You got a great team. What do you want listeners to know about certified employee owned?
Yeah, that's great. Oh my gosh, so many things. Well, I think the first thing is just that, you know, we as a community in the employership space, we're so much stronger together. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's just such a key thing. That's like our main point at certified employee owned, is really about combining our voices and amplifying it so that we can really reach everyone in the country to help them understand that this is out there and that this is a great thing. And that if you're the sort of person that this resonates with, you can work at an employee-owned business. You can buy our products. Your business can get a better relationship by doing business with employee-owned companies. We're really just starting that drumbeat of support, but it only works if we're all on the same page, right? Because if every employee-owned company is just talking about it on their own way, in their own way, it can work internally. It can be a good little kind of like local advantage, but it's never going to be a national thing unless we really combine our voices. The other thing I'd say is that we do a lot of work, maybe just to shamelessly promote, I'm already doing it. If you are looking for support in terms of that internal education, especially in terms of content development or a plan for the year, or just like feel like your committee's stuck and been doing the same thing and are looking for a spark, we definitely have a good set of resources there. Because obviously, how do you talk about it internally? How do you share that ownership story with your employee owners is very related to how do you share that employership story broadly and nationally and externally. So all our work on that big question helps us a lot when we start working with companies on the internal question as well.
That's great. That's great. And the best way for someone to get started, just reach out through the website or LinkedIn. What do you recommend?
Yeah. Well, if you want to get started, you can email me, thomas@certifiedeo.com, or you can email info@certifiedeo.com. We also have a form on our website, obviously. You can ping me on LinkedIn. I post on LinkedIn a lot too. So if you don't even want to talk about CertifiedEO, you just want to hear more about employership, you follow me on LinkedIn, connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm posting all the time. I love this stuff.
That's great. Well, I appreciate the time, getting more insight into certified employee owned, sharing that with the listeners, and I hope this helps amplify what's already some great momentum and early success with the job board. Just think that's really cool that you're doing that, and it'll be fun to see how that grows. So for listeners, really appreciate the time, your interest in the owner experience, the ownership community. This is Jesse Tyler for the EO Podcast Network on the Owner to Owner podcast. And I'd like to close with, buy employee owned, work employee owned, look for jobs through certified employee owned, eat employee owned, go to the co-op instead of another store, those kinds of things. The more that we can have, we can advance worker equity and the wealth building and good work environments, meaningful work, the better off we're going to be as a country. So again, thanks again, listeners, and we'll talk to you again soon on a future episode.
We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook at EO Podcast Network and on Twitter at ESOP Podcast. This podcast has been produced by Brett Kiesling for the EO Podcast Network. Original music composed by Max Kiesling. Branding and marketing by Bitsy Plus Design. And I'm Bitsy McCann.